You're listening to Straight Shooters, a straightforward golf podcast that'll straighten out your game. And here are your hosts, Keith Bennett and Henry Stettina.
All right. Welcome back to the Straight Shooters Golf Podcast. Last week, Keith and I had a fantastic conversation on practice. Both of us get a whole bunch of questions on how a person can practice, what they should practice. We kind of broke it down as to some of the things that we think are most valuable. Obviously, putting, you know, those 2 and 3 footers is really important. It'd be similar to Steph Curry shooting those layups. And then moving off the green and working on our pitching and our chipping and progressing from there, sometimes even with the full swing plates and half swings and transferring that to the golf course. But the real key that we kind of boiled it down to was that there is a concept that a person should be working on. And that concept has to do with the way we are swinging the golf club. And even if a person does go do those putting and chipping practices, if they don't recognize the concept of what they're trying to do with the golf club, it's going to be hard to transfer that to the full swing because, again, they're just practicing aimlessly. They don't have a true purpose to it, and there's not enough objective to give them that purpose that they're looking for. So we're looking to kind of kick that off and continue that conversation. But Keith, you know, let's hear how it's going, what's going on in your world, and let's really dive into this and get this conversation started.
Yeah, I'm very passionate about this topic lately, and you and I have been talking a lot, like between episodes, you know, texting, and just we always chat about, like, you know, how could a golfer get better with 30 minutes of practice time? Like, what would that 30 minutes look like? You know, obviously, like, segmenting out your practice, working on your short shots, expanding out, working on, you know, hitting to targets that are further away from you. That's all well and good. I think everybody sort of understands that. But like, during those times when they're hitting to those targets, what are they focusing on? And I think this becomes very intuitive with a lot of other things that we do in our life. When we're using tools, right? We've talked about this in podcasts in the past of human beings are tool users. We've developed our brain to use tools to accomplish tasks, right? We have silverware to accomplish eating. You know, we could still eat with our hands, but we've evolved to, you know, using silverware, forks, knives, spoons, because, you know, it has become a little bit easier to do that. We use tools in our everyday life. I use, I use a little shovel to dig up weeds in my yard. I use a rake to clean up the rocks in my front yard. We've evolved to be tool users. And when we use those tools, we're not conscious of what our body is doing during the tool use. We're focusing on what we want to do with the tool to accomplish a task. And then our brain self-organizes the movements of the body around the goal of the tool use that we want to have. And golf is really no different. Golf, we have a tool and we have 14 of them and we can use them at any point. And basically we use the tool to move the golf ball from point A to point B on the golf course. And we try to move that ball in as few attempts as possible into the hole. That's like, if you were to say, what's the simple objective of the game? So when we're practicing, we should be practicing getting more equipped, more familiar, more in tune with the tool that we're using and how we want to move it to propel the ball, right? We can't pick the ball up and throw it to a target. We can't touch the ball other than putting it on a tee box, or if we're on the green, we can pick it up and clean it off and you know, aim it if we need to. Those are the only two times. Other than that, we can't touch the ball. So the club in our hand is the only thing making contact with the ball. Therefore, it would make sense that we focus on what we're doing with the tool, because at the end of the day, how we move the tool, aka the club, will determine what the golf ball does from, you know, the point where it's below our nose on the ground until ultimately goes to the target. So if we think about that, our practice time should be dedicated to understanding how we move the tool. As you and I have documented a lot, body-focused golf instruction is the number one taught, you know, form of instruction right now, which means that if we think about, hey, I want to move this tool a certain way, instructors will talk to people about how to go about coordinating movements of the body to move the tool versus moving the tool and allowing the body to self-organize around how we want to move the tool, right? If I want to move the club face a little bit more closed, you know, my trail arm's going to pronate a little bit, my lead arm's going to supinate a little bit, versus if I want to open the face, the opposite things will happen. And I'm not thinking about the pronation and supination of my forearms. I'm simply thinking I want the toe of my club maybe at 11 o'clock versus 12 if I'm a right-handed player, versus, you know, and kind of thinking about it in those terms. And then my body self-organizes around the movements. So it's a more simple way of asking our brain to operate, and one that we're already all familiar with in everyday lives. We're actually all very, very good at using our brain in that manner. And then people find golf complicated because it's like, okay, well, how much knee bend should I have? Should my knees bend and unbend? How much? At what rate? Should my hips tilt and incline? Okay, how much? At what rate? At what speed? All these things. And then it becomes a very, everybody looks like, you know, an octopus falling out of a tree, as somebody once said, I think maybe Faldo or something. So that's kind of a little, you know, bring everybody up to speed on what we're talking about. And I think as you're listening to this, you can all resonate with that because, again, we're all good tool users. So Henry, talk to me about like what somebody would focus on with their club, AKA their tool, if they were to go from hitting a putt and then maybe work into some chip shots off the green.
Sure. I think you broke that down quite nicely. We are tool users since the very beginning of time. And the golf club is simply a tool for sending a ball to the target. And if we were to kind of break that down and see what do we need to achieve to produce that, there's obviously some variation to it, but for the most basic and standard straight ball flight, putt, chip, pitch, full swing, what have you, we're going to need to achieve a few things. We're going to need to be able to contact the ball in the center of the club face. We're going to need to have the club face square to the target line. We're going to need to have the golf club swinging in the direction of the target. And then we're going to have enough speed to achieve the desired shot. So those are going to be kind of our four essentials, as Ed would put it. But, you know, it really boils down to being able to have a solid foundation for achieving those essentials. The setup is going to be so valuable. And that's going to contribute to the way the golf club moves. And so I think one of the things that I like to refer back to is the defining properties of a swing. Anybody can go onto Google and Google swinging and look at what that definition is. And they'll find that it's a to and fro motion while suspended from an axis. A pendulum is an example of a swing. A lot of us have heard or could consider the putting stroke as a pendulum. Some people used to even anchor the putter against their sternum or to their belly button. And I guess it's been almost 10 years now that the USGA and RNA deemed that against the rules of golf because it made swinging too simple or too easy to achieve. And so they said that the real art or the real skill in the game is managing the space between the putter and that anchoring point or that point of access.
Yeah, you'll actually still see people on tour using belly putters or tools that go, you know, that create that belly putt. Like, people will use belly putters as a training aid, right? They can't use them in competition, but they'll still use them as training aids to reconnect mentally with that idea of a suspension point.
Yeah, that's a great point. About a year or so ago, I filmed a short mini course, Secrets of the Short Game. And in it, I gave us a progression on developing a good putting technique, a good chipping technique, and a good pitching technique. And they all stemmed from that pendulum-like concept. And I have a drill where I anchor the putter or the club into my belly button, and I make a half swing from 9 to 3 or smaller if I need to do. Yep. And that would be something that anybody can do, but with two purposes. Number one is that we need to watch the club and see what it does when it truly swings. And then two, we need to kind of feel what that body rotation or body response is like.
Yeah.
And then we transfer that to what I call a Y drill, where we have the shaft of the club and then the forearms form a capital letter Y, and we make that same motion while still envisioning the club anchored to the belly button.
Yeah.
Both you and I have used the T drill that Ed's given us. We stick a T in the butt end of the club, make sure that when we swing it, it doesn't move closer or further from the lead forearm.
Yep.
And so those are some progressions that a person might take to start to recognize, okay, what does this golf club need to do? What does it feel like when I do it? And how can I go from a very slow motion to a quicker motion? We should start by maybe watching the tee or watching the club and really monitoring its motion, and then going into maybe doing it with our eyes closed and visualizing it.
Yep.
And then when there's a ball present, then we start to continue with that same thought process of focusing on what we're doing with the golf club. We're actually focusing on swinging it very specifically, and we should be oblivious to what the ball does. This is all just part of that natural progression that any golfer should take when they're starting to develop and understand a more clear concept of the golf swing.
So what you're saying is that first you need a concept, right? Because the brain has to mentally wrap it has to wrap itself around a concept of what we're trying to do, right? And it's easiest if we can define that. So we're saying a swinging motion is a to and fro motion from an axis point, right? Everybody's seen a pendulum. Everybody's seen a kid on a swing. Everybody's seen a, you know, kind of a, you know, that example is easy for everybody to resonate with. So we have to understand that. Then we have some drills to help you feel it and visualize it and see it in action, which is maybe you take a hybrid or a three wood and you can kind of anchor it to your belly button and grip down and let your arms hang in their normal length. And you can actually hit some putts while keeping the hybrid or the three wood kind of suspended. Or, you know, you can use the T drill like we've talked about, where you put a T in the little air hole at the top of your grip so that it stays in place, and you observe the distance between the T and the forearm as you move your putter, you know, back and to and fro, and just make sure that that space between the T and the forearm does not grow or decrease, and you will be making a true pendulum action. And another point there that I think gets a lot of people is most people are so used to thinking about golf focusing on their body. But what do you say, Henry, about like, what should the body be doing when you're focusing on the pendulum or the space between the T and the forearm? Should there be any conscious thought there, or what do you instruct players to do?
That's a great question. And I don't even know if I have the right answer for it. I mean, theoretically, we shouldn't have to think of the body at all, that it should simply respond to the motion. I think that would be the most ideal scenario. But from my experience, that's not necessarily how I always teach the game. You know, when we're putting, you know, I want the player to get into a good setup. And so we need to make sure that we're balanced. A lot of players, new players, have a hard time with hip hinge. They, instead of hip, you know, hinging at the hip, they roll their back, like the upper back. They're rolling that rather than hinging at the hip. And you see some of that steep posture.
I had a problem with that for a while, and you corrected me on that recently.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. You and another professional I've worked with on that recently, and both of you seem to have benefited from that. And I just got a video from a friend of mine who's a, you know, scratch golfer, amateur. And I saw the same thing, and I thought, you know what? I need to address this, right? It doesn't look normal. And all three of you are physically fit. You all exercise, you all do, you know, those types of things. And so I think it's just a habit.
Yeah.
You know, some people have limitations, and these need to be corrected in the gym. They're not going to be corrected on the golf course. Some people have poor posture, and they walk around, and they should not expect to like improve their posture once they put a golf club in their hands.
Right, right.
And so I think it goes beyond just in golf, but in life, we should be working on those things, because they're going to be present in all of our everyday tasks, not just when swinging the golf club.
So for the meantime, for people listening, go with what feels comfortable, or should they be trying to achieve something in their setup position for now?
Yeah. You know, I think that if a person can be balanced from heel to toe and left to right, with their arms hanging, they're going to be in a pretty good spot.
Yep.
Some people who have trouble with that hip hinge might have overarching back, over-rounding of the back. And if that's the case, sometimes I'll have them put a golf club along their back, and it'll have 3 points of contact, one on their butt, one on their upper back, and then one against their head.
Yep.
And then I want them to bend over while maintaining those 3 points of contact. And when they do that, then they start to hinge at the hip and they really start to feel how different that is.
Yeah, I can feel my hamstrings stretching, literally thinking about that drill.
Yeah. And that's where we just need to, you know, soften the knees and allow that to happen. And so I think that that could be a good exercise for a lot of people. But as we practice that, it should become pretty normal to where we don't have to think much about it.
Okay, so we've got our concept of the swing. We've got our balance, heel to toe, arms hanging, hinging from the waist, not rounding the upper back to allow the arms to reach the grip of the club. So we're set up, ready to hit a shot. We're going to probably start with aiming the blade of the club at the target, right? Getting our balance and setting our stance and body in a position that allows us to make the swinging action, right? So from my experience, players who, you know, have a poor concept of the swing have maybe been told to take the club straight back and straight through. You and I know there's some truth to that, but there is some nuance. So what's the nuance? What's the truth between straight back and straight through as it relates to what somebody might observe watching a player swing the club properly from down the line versus maybe what that golfer who's swinging the club might actually be thinking about in regards to the target line and straight back, straight through?
Yeah. So straight back, straight through would be perfect if we had a pendulum that hung vertically.
Right. Over the target line.
Straight up and down. Yep. The rules of golf don't allow that. There is a lie angle on the golf club and it has to be less than 80 degrees. That's a USGA rule of golf. And so because of that, the club's going to rest on an inclined plane and it's going to swing on that plane. And so as long as we swing the club on that plane, the shaft will appear to go straight back and straight through because it's on a plane. But the head's going to appear to arc, or the whole club's going to appear to arc because it's moving circularly around us.
Right.
And so a person could just stand straight up and down with the club out in front of them at about waist high so that the shaft is parallel to the ground and the base of the club is straight up and down vertical. And they could just make a little putting stroke or, you know, long putting stroke. And they'll notice that the club stays on that horizontal plane, but the putter head is moving in an arc around their body. Right. And so that when we bend over, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see that club staying on plane, but also arcing. And so depending on our perspective, a person could say yes or no to either one. I think the problem starts when a person tries to keep the face square to the target, because the face doesn't stay square to the target. The face stays square to the arc or square to the path of the club.
Right.
And it's only square to the target when it passes the point of axis, the center point of the swing, which is the center point of the body, the spine.
Yep. Yeah. I think so. For the player out there, if you are maybe in your garage, or on the sidewalk or in your kitchen, and you've got like some tile lines or like a long visible grout line or something that's, you know, a long straight line, you know, take your golf club, hold it by the club head and suspend that club perpendicular directly over that line and just kind of swing it back and through like a pendulum. Okay. And imagine there's a flashlight coming out of the bottom of your grip and it's shining on that line and it's staying shining on that line. Then incrementally, imagine that that flashlight still shines on the line, but incrementally start to make that golf club more parallel to the ground. Okay, so all you're doing is you're just simply changing the location of the suspension point and still swing that club back and forth to and fro while imagining that that flashlight is still shining on that line on the ground. And you'll notice that as soon as you remove that club head from being directly over the target line, you know, vertically, and you create any sort of angle, now the club head actually is swinging on a bit of an arc. It has always swung on the arc. It's just more visible when the axis point becomes more parallel to the ground, let's say, or that sternum point on a golfer's body would be sort of a nice visible axis point. And, you know, there's a lot of great videos out there. If you follow like the Shot Tracer app, Instagram account, where they show kind of the movement of the club head throughout the swing with a nice, you know, colorful line, you can really see that the club moves around the golfer in a circular fashion. And without these mental pictures in your head, I think if I were building a brand new golfer, I would spend 30 minutes to an hour indoors showing them images and pictures and getting their concept of the swing really, really clear before we went outside, because as soon as you can see it in your head, it's much easier for your brain to then start to coordinate and self-organize the movements of the body to match that picture you have in your mind. With no picture in your mind, I mean, it's very hard. You're kind of out there hoping to get lucky, unless you're just an incredible athlete and can pick up a club and just know what to do with it. But it for a lot of other people, that's very difficult.
Yep, you bring up some great points. We need to have a clear picture, a clear intention, a clear concept of what to do with the golf club. It is that intention or that concept that allows us to perform it. All we need to know is what to do. Our subconscious will manage the how of doing it. And in this Swing 60 course that I've been doing, it's been really interesting. I've learned a whole bunch, and I'm looking to revise a lot of what I'm doing for the next cohort. But there's a lot of time that needs to be spent in helping the players understand what to do. And I think, you know, there's got to be some good visuals, some good photos, some good diagrams on showing the player this concept, because we talk about it so simply and so freely. Right. And it sometimes gets overlooked. You know, we use the terminology swing or swinging, and we're talking about something very, very specific.
Right.
Whereas 100% of golfers, I would assume, would consider what they do with the golf club a swing. Yeah, I'm swinging the golf club. What else would I be doing with it? Well,
right.
You're only swinging it if you're moving it a very specific way, like we're describing.
Yep.
When the putter head or the club head and the grip of the club move in opposite directions, it's not swinging. It's being used as a lever, like a teeter-totter.
Yep.
When we're pulling on the handle, we're not swinging the club anymore. We're dragging the club like a mop.
Yep.
Neither of those produce maximum distance or direction. There's significant advantage to a person who truly swings the whole golf club.
Yep.
And I think that's something that, you know, it definitely took us a long time to grasp these concepts. And I would imagine most others, you know, taking a significant amount of time as well. I don't know about you, but there's been a handful of books that I could reference that could be valuable. Understanding the Golf Swing by Manuel De La Torre, Swing the Club Head by Ernest Jones. I haven't read much, but Swing the Handle. I think Eddie Marins wrote that book. One of my favorites recently is The Golf Swing by Chris Riddich.
Yep.
And then when it comes to teaching these concepts, Ed LeBeau's book, Club Focus Instruction from Tee to Green. I mean, these are some of those resources that I've used, and I'm sure you've used, to really help understand these concepts.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really is understanding the concepts that the average golfer out there just doesn't do. And it's not their fault, because there's not a ton of, I mean, you just, riddled off 4 or 5 books compared to the thousands of golf books that have been written on golf instruction, you know, all talking primarily about the wrists, the arms, the legs, the hips, right? Like a lot more has been written about what the body should be doing during the swing to move the tool. I think that's the funny thing is that we talk, you know, when people are describing body movements, they don't then say at the end, oh yeah, and this movement should put the golf club in this position, or this movement should, but they are trying, but that's what their purpose is. They're saying move the body so that the club can contact the ball this way. But it's so much easier to move the club the way you want the club to be moved and allow your body to respond to the movement of the club that you're desiring to produce. Just like swinging a hammer, just like using a screwdriver, just like using a mop, or just like using a shovel, an axe, you're moving the tool and your body's responding, right? I'm not aware of the pressure that's moving between my feet when I'm using a rake, or, you know, the folding and unfolding of my elbows when I'm trying to, you know, shovel something. I'm oblivious to all of that. And so is everybody else that's using, you know, that's listening to this podcast. So you can, you know, have the same success. I mean, everyone, I think it was funny. You said one point, like, you know, it snows very randomly in Las Cruces, or, you know, when I was in Seattle, and it's like, every year I don't need a brush up on my shoveling technique. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, no shit. Like, I just know how a shovel is used to move snow. I can do that every year. I don't need a tune up on my knee flex and my hip hinge and all of these things, you know. Maybe I'm a little sore afterward because I don't use those muscles, but once a year, but I don't need a tune up on the technique. And it's like, with golf, people are like, oh man, I, you know, from 1 week to the next, I completely forgot how to swing a club. It's like, well, then you don't have a concept. That tells me that you don't have a mental concept. And that's the issue, not because you don't know what you're doing. Well, you don't know what you're doing, but you don't have a concept. So yeah, the concept is precedes, you know, the physical motions, obviously. But I think that's a nice place to kind of put a bow on this conversation. And really, you know, for the listeners out there, I think if you spent 2 weeks to 3 weeks and you did nothing but putt and chip and work on your mental concept of the swing, you would be blown away by how proficient and good you'd be at moving the club and therefore moving the ball to where you want it to go.
Yeah, I think I want to add one or two pieces to that. You know, we outline putting primarily. The concept is the same for all the swings. Mm. Putting is the best place to learn it, though. And, and chipping is a low rolling shot. It's like a bump and run. It's when we're just off the green. Maybe try it with a 9-iron, an 8-iron, a 7-iron, and do the same motion as putting. Try to make it the exact same. And then maybe move a little bit further off the green and try with a pitching wedge and then a sand wedge and then a lob wedge and just make the same motion, trying to make the ball go forward like we did with putting and allowing the loft of the club to launch the ball into the air. Experiment with that for a little while. And what I've found with my Swing 60 program, the players that are giving me the most feedback are all having major success with putting and chipping. They're really understanding it. They've seen significant improvement and are gradually transitioning to the fuller swings. And so I think what we ought to do for next week is kind of turn this into make a third part to this and talk about how we would transition it from those putting and chipping and pitching swings to the fuller swing, because it does get more complicated. Some of these concepts that we've talked about with the pendulum and the tee drill, they do feel different when those wrists start hinging and the club goes behind our head and we no longer can see what's actually happening. And we have to rely on our proprioception, basically our awareness of our hands and arms and club in space. And so that could be a good segue into what we do next time.
I like it. Let's just expand on the swing. And I think maybe for this week, I know you've got some Instagram posts backed up on some of this stuff. Maybe we resurface some of those things for the listeners, and they at least then they'll have a point of reference for what we're talking about. Maybe on our stories or something like that. That might not be a bad idea.
Perfect.
But yeah, man, enjoyed the talk as always. I've already got some ideas of some videos I want to make now after having that conversation. I think it's just about simplifying it. That's what it all comes down to. It's the concept is new to people. It can take some time to kind of let it sink in, but these things are really super simple. And I think we want to hammer that home. And, you know, players can get better at the game faster this way compared to, you know, a more quote traditional way. I hate to say that word, but you know, kind of the more readily available golf instruction out there. So Henry, have a good rest of your week, buddy. And looking forward to the chat next week.
Enjoy. Take care, buddy. Yeah, man. Huge week ahead of us. Enjoy it. Take care. And we'll chat next time.
Okay, man.
See ya.
Bye.
Do you want to work one-on-one with either Henry or Keith? Well, you're in luck. Both Henry and Keith offer online lessons and monthly coaching subscriptions using the Skillist app. Online coaching allows you to learn at your own pace by digesting smaller chunks of information more frequently. Download Skillist, search for Henry or Keith, and get started today.